Hello there, and welcome to the Outer Ben- I mean, the Unwatchables. Yes.
Yeah, so that was awkward, that was terrible, and you should apologize to everyone who just heard that. But anyway, today we are talking about Outer Banks Season 2, and we're going to give our take on it. Some good takes, some bad takes, depends on what you thought of the show. But before that, we're going to discuss our situation with Season 1.
Yeah, so, as everybody knows, last year there was sort of this thing called coronavirus, and everyone was trapped inside. So, on Netflix, oh, look, here's this big show, new show, The Outer Banks. And originally I was like, this looks like stupid stuff that only teenage girls would like and that they made in like 20 minutes. And then I watched it and I was like, this is good. And then there was a cliffhanger and I was like, this is not good. And then I waited a year and then I realized this man right here, my buddy over there.
Hi.
Somewhere halfway across the country from me, hadn't seen it. So I was like, you. Yes, you. That one. Go watch The Outer Banks. And he was like, no. And I was like, yes. And he was like, no. And I was like, yes. And he was like, no. And I was like, yes. And he was like, no. And I was like, yes. And he was like, no. And I was like, yes. And he was like, yes. So then he watched it, and that lucky son of a gun, I mean, he enjoyed it, first of all, which is good, but that lucky son of a gun only had to wait one day to figure out what the cliffhanger was.
Exactly. So Connor was telling me how he's waited for an entire year to watch Season 2, and he was so hyped, and me just coming off Season 1, I was like, it was pretty good, I'll watch Season 2, and I only had to wait a day. I was so spoiled.
Maybe I'm a teenage girl at heart. Maybe that's why I like it so much more than you.
Well, the way you talk about JJ, I wouldn't be surprised.
What?
What?
JJ's the best, man. It's just a fact. It's a fact.
Okay.
It's factual.
Okay.
Okay? Thank you.
Okay. So, let's get into the things we liked, because there are things we liked. I will talk about the things we did not like, because I did not like a lot of this. I mean, the second season. I like the first season. Don't have too many problems with the first season. It was fine. It was like the Goonies set in the 21st century, and everyone looked like they were 20 or 30 years old. But the likes. Yeah. What do you like about the show?
So, you know, the sentence that was going to come out of my mind was somehow they found good child actors, and then I remembered that none of them are actually teenagers, which really annoys me. Like, John B., the guy who plays John B., is like 28, I think. So, just take the word child actors out of that sentence. The acting in this show is extremely good, which is crazy considering I've never seen a single person in there before except, like, once.
Yeah.
So, it's crazy how good they all are.
Yeah, and Netflix does this a lot where for teen shows they have, like, 30-year-olds to play high schoolers.
Bro.
And at first, when I started the first season and I saw John B., he looked like a 30-year-old, I was like, yeah, these guys are graduated, right? These guys are graduated. And then I hear Pope talking about his scholarship, and I'm like, so you guys just graduated, right? You guys just graduated, now you're going to college. And then, nope, they're 15 years old, apparently.
Yeah, I remember you texted me and you're like, well, he's a 30-year-old man. This is going to be great.
Well, that's always a bad first impression for me when the ages don't work. But yeah, age choice aside, the acting is really good, especially for one character, and that character is Mr. Rafe. And I swear, I hated Rafe with a passion after Season 1. I wanted him dead. I wanted this man dead. I wanted him to choke on gummy bears or whatever the hell the showrunners wanted to do. I just wanted him gone.
Yeah, I remember you texting in celebration when Pope was like beating the crap out of him.
Oh, I was so happy, man. I was I loved that. That was like, that was good. That made me so happy.
But yeah, we all love to hate Rafe, and he is the best character. Well, that's a lie. JJ's the best character. Rafe is the second best character, but he's the best actor out of all of them, that's for sure. Very, very convincing.
I disagree.
You're not allowed to disagree with me. How dare you?
First season, I absolutely hated Rafe. Second season, he is the best character. For the second half of the show, which I will totally destroy, he was carrying that stuff on his shoulders. His back must kill. because he was so good.
Okay, but you're allowed to hate the best character. You say that just because you hate him doesn't mean he can't be the best. Like, he's obviously the... Fine, maybe I could say he's the best, but he's not my favorite. JJ's the favorite.
Yeah, JJ's pretty cool. JJ's not that interesting, but, you know, he has enough witty lines, and he's cool enough, so...
He's really interesting in the first season. Poor guy in season two, though. Constant third wheel. Until the end, I guess, but, yeah.
He's good in the first season, but, you know, we have to go into Pope's subplot or whatever the heck that stuff was.
Yeah, it's really funny. It's like the first season is like... Oh no, here's John B's treasure. Oh no, the Camerons stole it. And then the second season's like, oh no, here's Pope's treasure. Oh no, the Camerons stole it. So I'm excited for season three when it's like, oh no, here's JJ's treasure. Oh no, the Camerons stole it, you know?
Yeah, it's just gonna go right, there's just gonna go all the way through all of them.
Yeah, next season's JJ's treasure, and then the season after that is Kiara's treasure, and the season after that is, like, Sarah's treasure or something, and then the Camerons will steal it from her, even though she is a Cameron. And then the next season is Topper's treasure, and then the next season is Rafe's treasure, and then the next season is the drug dealer's treasure, and then the next season is the alligator's treasure, and then the next season is Wheezy's treasure, and then the next... I'm running out of people. Do you have any extra people?
No.
They need more seasons. Think of more people, Jackie.
One thing I did I did appreciate is that they were able to have a lot of that unimportant teen stuff that any Netflix teen show will have, but it didn't feel pushed in there. Like, the first half of the season was total on the run, out of country, foreign country fugitive type deal, and it was like an action movie. But as they got back, I liked that they just did normal teen things. You know, they went to parties. It didn't feel too unrealistic.
You know? Honestly, for the whole season, they should have just stayed in the Bahamas looking for the original gold and, like, fighting Ward and Rafe, you know?
Yep.
Like, it would have made more sense than introducing the weird, like, gimp lady and the cross.
Yep.
I don't know. That part just seems shoved in.
Yeah. And we don't really have that many likes. Or, like, overall, Connor says that he liked the season a lot. I thought the season was fine. It had a lot of problems. But the thing is, we can't really find too many things we liked. It was a vibe.
Okay, here's what I'll say. The thing that makes me like it, like, especially, the way the conflict between... John B. and Cameron was obviously the best part. Like, I really like his character because he's like a genius and he's really smart, but also he's like really stupid. Like, Rafe and the wife lady, whatever her name is,
Rose,
are like constantly saving him from making stupid decisions and trying to get him out of places. And I love the thing with him and John B. Like, it's just such an interesting plot, you know? Like, who is he gonna... Is Shoop gonna catch him? Is he gonna go to prison? He's in prison. Oh, how's he gonna get out? And also, all of the stuff with, like, Rafe, who's, again, best character. Well, on JJ. Best written character. Never mind. But all the stuff with Rafe where he's like, oh, I need help. And he's like... He knows he's going insane. And he tries to get help. And Ward just, like, shoves it down. Like... And then he just basically kind of goes off the rails. It's crazy, man. It's so interesting. And then it ends when he, spoiler alert, kills himself. And I'm like, holy cow, this is amazing. This is absolutely fantastic. He saved his family and he had to do this, make this sacrifice to make sure Rafe could go on and be the new evil dingus rich old guy. It also creates like a very interesting plot point, or what could have been, between John B. and Sarah, but... They sort of threw that away, but we can talk about that later. But then they brought him back to life. And there's a saying I like to say, which is people who kill people and then bring them back to life have no balls. And that happened 3 times in this season. So,
yeah, just I know we're gonna go into all the dislikes now, but I just want to go back to the likes for one more second. Two things I liked were, as you said, Ward is, he makes so many mistakes, and it's kind of refreshing. He's not the evil mastermind who has everything calculated. Everything is just another chess piece on the board, you know? He doesn't know everything.
He has rage problems, too, which makes him even more interesting.
Yeah, but what I also liked is that the police are actually competent in this. There are so many...
I love Shoop.
There are so many shows, but the police just get... They just blunder around, and then they get killed, you know? But it's so refreshing that Shoop's like, okay, I'll hear you guys out. And then he hears them out, and then he's like, I need proof. They bring him proof. He's like, oh, okay, you know? There you go. I guess it's word.
They set up Shoop as if he's, like, this bad guy, but really, he just can't do anything if you don't have any evidence. Like, he's doing his job. That makes him seem like a bad guy, maybe. But then one other thing that I really like about this show, first and second season, that kind of has to do with what you said about, like, teen drama and stuff, is I really like the way they have, like, these crazy big plots with, like, millions of dollars, and they're like fighting these rich people, and like this even applies to the old crutches lady, who really wasn't that important, to be honest. I'm not even sure why she was there, because they could have just got rid of her and had Rafe do it, because they still ended up the main conflict in the last episode being on the boat versus the Camerons and their crew. She wasn't even there. I guess it was just to introduce, spoiler alert, Big John back into the picture, maybe. But I really like how, even though they're doing all these crazy things, they're still just like teenagers who want to get rich. They're not like crazy adventurers or anything. They're stupid, which we'll talk about the stupidity later. Teenagers with stupid teenage drama and stupid teenage party and stupid teenage ideas. And it's just fun to watch all these idiots go on a treasure hunt, you know?
Yep.
The show is just like a massive vibe, is the one way to describe it.
Yeah, but on to the dislikes now. And you brought up this point before, and I will admit I hate it when you say a show or a movie doesn't have balls just because they bring a character back from the dead, but I have to agree, these guys have embryonic balls. These guys have absolute cherry pits. Like, first they blow up Ward halfway through the season. I'm like, oh my gosh, that is so cool. What the hell is John B's
gonna... I think my exact text to you was, wow, they have massive balls.
And then I'm like, whoa, how's John B going to react to this? But like, he seems happy. How is this going to affect all the other Pogues? How is this going to affect Sarah? But nope, he's alive again. And then a huge conflict in season one is, oh no, Big John's dead. Oh no, oh no, oh no. How's this going to affect John B? Oh, nope. He's alive. So that sucks.
And don't forget when Sarah got shot and she was dead for like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then she came back to life too. Mm-hmm. And then she was just fine like 20 minutes later.
And then John B died. And then John B died to the alligator. But no, he's alive.
Oh, yeah. But you were talking about how, like, Ward dying could have affected, like, how it could have affected the Pogues and John B. and Sarah. Like, they could have done a better job showing how that split up Sarah and John B. and how, like, I don't know. I just feel like it could have been more affected than what we got, you know? Like, yeah, they broke up, I guess. But, I mean, like, they got back together, like, an episode later? I don't know. I just feel like it could have had a bigger effect on them and the Pogues, and the difference between, obviously, what Sarah thought about Cameron and what John B. thought about Cameron. But I don't know. I guess. Whatever. But John B. dropped the bag, and Topper, that sneaky little boy Topper, took his opportunity. Topper's a player. He was like, hey, you know, I got free breakfasts and, like, here's the phone, and oh, I'm sorry your dad died, even though he's happy that the guy who murdered his father is dead. Because it's totally reasonable for him to, you know, like, not... He should be, like, crying with you, you know? So, but, yeah, he's horrible. Be with me again. And then he got dumped again, and poor Topper. I feel kind of bad for poor Topper.
So do I. Does
that make any sense, what I just said?
Not really, but moving on.
I'm just saying Topper's a player.
So...
He took his opportunity.
Just... The one thing that frustrated me so much about the show is just in one scene, just my biggest frustration, I think this is the most frustrated I've ever been with any show, is when they catch Ward killing that one guy, what was his name again?
Kevin.
Kevin. When the Pogues catch Ward on camera killing Gavin.
Gavin. G. G-g-g.
Gavin. Sorry, when the Pogues catch Ward killing Gavin, and, you know, they have it on camera and everything, and they're like, oh no, we have to get this to Shoop. And then Key just yells murder at him. I'm like, don't yell murder at a murderer when you have that murderer on camera committing murder. Why would you do that, you dumbass?
Like, option A, take this tape to Shoop. Get Ward arrested, thrown in prison, probably for life, because he's now murdered, well, actually, I guess Rafe killed Sheriff Peterkin. Rest in peace, Sheriff Peterkin, by the way. She was, like, the only actually smart person on the show. But you have him on tape. Option A, go to Shoop. Tell Shoop, hey, look at this. Get Ward sent to prison for life. Option B, yell, murderer, at the murderer, where he can see you, so that he can chase you down and try to murder you, because he is a murderer. And then drop the camera and step on it.
And then Key's high ass decides to break the freaking camera. Like, what?
Bro, they're literally, stop getting high when you're in life or death situations. Like, I get it, getting high is fun. Mom, I didn't say that, but not when you're watching a guy get murdered.
Oh, gosh. And also, another thing is, Pope's supposed to be, like, the smartest guy John B. knows, apparently. But Pope is a dumbass as well. When they're listening in to Gavin and Ward's conversation in the car, why didn't they record it? They had the phone in there. Why didn't he just put on the recording? Like, what? Why? Pope, you were doing so well. You put the phone in there. You were listening in on their conversation. Why didn't you record it, you dumbass?
The one thing I have to say is they're all mega idiots.
They are.
Like, almost everything they do is kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Like, they never call the cops. I get it, you don't really trust the cops, but Shoop is a dude, bro. I did not just call him that. Shoop is a bro. I love Shoop, by the way. He's a homie. Shoop is a bro. You could call Shoop. I guess they do give Shoop the gun later, but anytime, any situation you're in, just call the cops.
Yeah.
Like, when you're on the boat at the end, radio someone and be like, yo, 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 we got kidnapped. I don't know, man. They just make way too many, like, extremely stupid decisions when there's blatantly obvious ideas that are way, way better and would work better and are safer. Like, I get it, it causes conflict and stuff, but come on, guys, you're 16. I mean, granted, most teenagers are pretty stupid, so I'll give them a little bit of stupidity, but sometimes it's just like, oh, man.
Yep.
You know?
And also another, basically all my frustration comes from one episode. So first there's Key being annoying and yelling at Cameron, and then there is them breaking the camera, and then on top of that, there's Pope not recording these guys. And then on top of that, why didn't they tell Shoop when they went to him and they're like, oh, listen, we saw Ward kill Gavin, but our camera broke. Why didn't they tell him, but the gun's in the drain? Eh?
Yes! This is exactly what I said when we were watching it. Like, I get it, you went back and got him the gun, but you wouldn't have had to go sewers diving if you had just told Shoop it was there.
Yeah.
Some cops could have gone sewer diving. And then you wouldn't have gotten murdered by Rafe and his drug dealer buddy. I love Barry, by the way. He's kind of funny. Country club. It was kind of, like, sad when he, like, turned over Rafe to the cops, like, jumped out of the boat or whatever, and, you know, like, poor Rafe sort of lost his only friend, I guess. You know what kind of person he is when his only friend is a drug dealer. But also, I like to think that Barry had, like, some clue that Rafe wasn't okay, you know, and he was trying to get him help. I don't know. But yeah, poor Rafe. Sorry, not Rafe. Country club. I don't know, I can't really. Whatever. Country club. Meh.
Mm-hmm.
It's goofy.
But yeah.
The episodes, the bit with them in the Bahamas, though, was which was happening at the same time, was probably the best part. So it balanced out.
Yeah.
Like, I love that Terrence guy. He was goofy. Did Terrence die, by the way?
I assume he just got arrested.
Okay. My brother was trying to tell me he died. But yeah, him and his boy who kept bumping his head sort of made that part for me.
But then on top of that, there's that lady who was working on the boat who they just happened to know. I just, like, why is she so...
You're too much of a grouch. There's coincidences in every show.
But there are so many coincidences in this. First of all, they just bump into each other. Second of all, she's on the boat. Third of all, Rafe just happens to punch the wall, and then he sees some sort of... No way Rafe, who is high as heck, would punch the wall and then notice, like, a wallpaper underneath and think anything about it.
Bro, he didn't notice it right away.
But then why would he notice that? He wouldn't notice that.
Because the crutches lady came in, and they were searching his entire house for the island room, and she was like, oh, we haven't checked this room yet, and they went in that room, and she looked, and she was like, oh my gosh, look at this.
Oh, okay,
and then they tore off all the wallpaper.
I thought he was like, yo, I found your room. And I'm like, why do you know what room she needs? I guess.
No, it was her. Okay. She found it. He just happened to punch. I think that makes perfect sense that he punched the wall and then she found it.
Okay.
But also, it makes sense that the lady might have been on the boat. Like, yeah, it's a bit of a long shot, but she lost her job on a boat and she joined up with another shifty boat.
Yeah, I just find that a lot of this season depends on coincidences and people being really, really dumb.
What I want to know is how did the crutches lady get the proof that John B. was innocent? Not that it mattered in the end because, like, Ward, like, confessed or whatever. No. They found the gun. That's right.
Wait, so just clear up some confusion for me. I may be mixing up some stuff. But why did they end up giving her the key when they already had proof? And when Ward already... was getting arrested.
Because I think she was going to kill them.
Was she? Why didn't they just stick with the fake knife?
I'm pretty sure they had a gun to his head.
Okay.
Wait, when did he actually give her the real key? Because I know they gave her the fake one.
Then she came back with the... Then they came over with the cross, with the bow and arrow. Or something like that.
Oh, yeah, they came back with the bow and arrow guys, and they pointed them, and they were going to shoot them if they didn't give them the key.
Okay.
And also, can we just talk about, like, why on earth is Big John alive?
I have no idea.
Is that really, like, this is the one time I'm not like, ugh, they brought someone back to life. Mostly because he didn't die on screen, and his death didn't have any huge emotional, that was the whole John B. thing.
John B.'s entire character is based on him being independent after his death.
I could see a reality where I don't mind that he's back alive. I'm mad that Ward is alive, though. Rafe should have just been the main villain.
I've seen this trope done so many times, though.
Well, we'll see, I guess.
Yeah.
We won't know for another year. I heard from someone. This is not a reliable source at all, and I heard this, like, over a year ago. I was just looking back through my texts that they're supposedly making 5 seasons, which makes me angry.
That means we're gonna have a lot of treasure hunts on our hands. We're not even done with 2 of them.
I told you, we got JJ and Pope, and then we got John B and Pope, and then we got JJ, and then we got Key, and then we got Sarah, and that's all 5. It's genius. All 5 Pogues.
The treasure hunt stuff is just getting so stupid at this point.
It would have been fine if they stayed with the same treasure, especially because, like, this new freaking treasure, the cross or whatever, like, came out of nowhere.
But then, like, when they find the cross and John B's like, this belongs in a museum. He's like freaking Indiana Jones.
and Pope's like, yeah, instead of like, no, I want my millions of dollars. You guys can have some. Like, you're literally all really poor except for Kiara, who, by the way, is really mean to her parents and needs to work on that. She deserves to be sent to therapy.
Well, her parents are kind of shitty as well.
Okay, but like...
Everyone in the family is kind of annoying.
But she's just straight up... She stole their car.
Yeah.
She consistently disobeys them all throughout the series instead of just being nice to them, doing what they ask, and then they would probably let her do half the stuff, at least most of the stuff she does, if she was just nice about it.
Yeah, I think I can see she, like, I agree that Key is the most annoying character ever, but at the same time, I think her parents need to understand that from what they knew, Jambi was dead. You know, her best friend was dead. You know?
Yeah, exactly. What does that have to do with it? She was trying to tell them he wasn't. They were just trying to be like, no, you gotta get over it.
Yeah.
Like, that's also a trope. But, like, you know, I see that a lot. That happens a lot, right? Where parents are like, no, they're dead. And they're like, they're not. Why don't you believe me? I'm responsible. I'm 17 now, Mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you are.
Yep. So, I think that's basically it. In my opinion.
Yeah. I enjoyed this series a lot. I think it's a lot of fun. It's a massive vibe. I know somehow every time we make a video, it's like, oh, we hate this so much. But I still really like this show. It's just harder to put into words what's enjoyable about it than what's not. Like, I love the bit in the Bahamas. I just think they should have stuck to the first gold instead of introducing a new gold and just gotten rid of the crutches lady. And then basically the show would have been better.
Yeah.
What do you rate it out of 17?
The season or the show overall?
Season and then show overall.
So I'd rate the second season at 10 out of 17.
Oh, man.
And I'd rate this.
I'll probably give it like a 14. No, that's too high. 13. 12.98765 4321.
Nice. And I'd rate the show overall at a solid 13 out of 17.
The show overall gets a 13.5. Firstly, because somehow I have nostalgia from last year. I don't know. I just remember, like, watching it in my basement at, like, 3 a.m.
I think it...
And, well, not being allowed to leave my house. That and The Office are the two shows that resonate with me from the pandemic. So, like, I don't know. I'm just inclined to like it a bit more than you, I think.
At that point, I don't think it's nostalgia. I think it's just a happy memory. I think it's just a core memory.
Maybe. No, not that. Not a core memory. But, yeah, it's a good show. It's a fun show to watch. It's enjoyable. It's suspenseful. There's just some problems with it that could be ironed out, you know?
Yeah.
But that's with every show, so.
Yeah. Also, I just want to add more thing. I laughed out loud when, at the explosion, when Moore died, the explosion, it looked like a crappy iMovie explosion.
Know what CGI looked really bad?
The alligator?
Was when the cross was falling on
Pope.
Oh,
gosh. Oh, gosh. And the alligator when he chomped down. That looked so
weird. Another thing. No one in this show can just stay hurt. Sarah got shot. Fine, 2 minutes later. John B. got attacked by an alligator. Was sprinting after a car like 5 hours later. Like, jeez.
Yep.
Got choked out in a prison, was fine almost immediately. Also, the part where he was in prison and JJ was trying to bake him out was hilarious. Amazing. I cannot emphasize my love for JJ enough.
Yep.
He's so funny. But yeah, I guess that's it for Outer Banks 2.
Yeah.
Can't believe waited a year and it's already over. I guess probably review it again next year.
Let's see. We'll see. I'm not so sure that I'll go back to it. I might.
You're not going to watch the third season?
I'm not sure.
It comes out?
I'm not sure. I'll see if you like it or not.
But, like, why not just watch it because it's there and you want to know what happens? Don't you want to know what happens? Don't you want to know why Big John's back and what they're all going to do in Poglandia?
Not too much. I'm not that interested in that.
All right. You do you. I'm still very interested. Very into this show. Great show. Even though it sounds like we hate it because, for some reason, we're just pessimistic. So, that's the end of the video. If you guys want to like and subscribe, you can go ahead and do that. You don't have to. Only if you like the video, I guess. Don't feel obliged, but do feel about. No, I'm going to stop talking. If you want to hear an extended version of this conversation, you can check it out on our podcast in the description and probably in a pinned comment down below. And also plenty of other content from over the past year. We've been going since, probably before Outer Banks 1 came out. I think I probably was watching that while making this podcast. So there's that. Lots of content there. Go enjoy it. And come back next time. See you, nerds. Or... Pogues or Kooks. I don't know. Also, like, I know this is going to sound weird, but they're all unrealistically attractive. Like, look at them. Every single one of them is, like, hot. And, yeah, it sounds weird, but, like, what are the chances in real life that you find a friend group where... where every single one of them is, like, really attractive? Like, it just doesn't happen. I can see why Netflix did it, and I'm definitely... not complaining, if you know what I'm saying, wink, wink, I mean, look at them, but it's a little bit distracting how unrealistic it is, and how hot they are, so, you know, it's like you're too distracted thinking, gosh dang, she looking fine, then, you know, like, actually watching the show, and I know I'm relatable on this, I'm on social media, and I can definitely tell you everybody agrees with me. You should see the comments on any social media post about Sarah Cameron, like, it's legit, like, simp jungle in there. Like, I totally agree with you guys. Like, 10 out of 10 opinions, totally right. But you don't have to be so vocal about it. It's so funny. Oh, man. And all that's not even to mention, like, all the various arguments I've had to sit through with all the ladies about, like, who's hotter, JJ or John B. Which, by the way, I'm straight. But JJ, that's the answer to that question. It's just, it's honestly so funny. And it happens, like, annoyingly often. And somehow I always end up, like, stuck in the middle of it. Oh, why does everybody have to be so hot?